Hello, and welcome to the Customer Onboarding Podcast brought to you by TaskRay. I'm your host, Jamie Cole, Chief of Staff at TaskRay. And on each episode, I'll sit down with customer onboarding leaders to uncover the leading strategies, playbooks, and secrets to ensuring customer onboarding success within the first 90 to 120 days. I'm so excited for you to join us and listen to these industry leaders as we learn together how to be customer onboarding gurus. In this episode, I sit down with Blakely Graham, CEO of TaskRay, to discuss the current state of customer onboarding, our recent industry benchmark study, and what the future of customer onboarding holds. Blakely, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jamie. It's exciting to be your first guest.
I'm so excited to have you here. So, Blakely, a little bit about your background. You are the CEO of TaskRay. Do you want to talk a little bit about how you got there?
It's been 10 years at TaskRay. It's hard for me to imagine a life before TaskRay, but there was a life before TaskRay. I'm trying to think where I got my start, Jamie. That was back at Starbucks, actually. I was an efficiency analyst, was my first job out of school. And since then, I run or worked in marketing orgs, product orgs, operation teams, and all that amounts to is just a bunch of generalist, jack-of-all-trade knowledge. Take that paired with a deep, deep love of Salesforce and that ecosystem and merged all that knowledge to start TaskRay. And I've been doing that ever since.
That's exciting. Anything about you want to share about your personal life that would be relevant to our talk?
Well, right now, my personal life is about staying calm and steady in the wake of a pandemic. So never did I think that that was going to be what my personal life was going to become. But right now I feel a compelling obligation to make sure my team is feeling safe, make sure my family is feeling safe, and just help where I can help people navigate through the coronavirus pandemic.
And that being said, I would like to mention that I am also in the same boat working from home with both my children and my three dogs. So there is a possibility for interruption, but I think we're all in the same situation there.
In fact, we are. I believe that we have children the exact same age, 10-year-old and 12-year-old, and both have dogs. So we are in the same boat.
We totally, and I think millions of Americans are. So that's where we're at. You've had a really interesting point of view on the customer onboarding industry over the last 10 years as CEO of TaskRay. Can you tell us a little bit about why getting customer onboarding right is such a crucial strategic initiative?
Yes, I can. So when we think about the customer's journey, one of the most critical times in our customer's experience is right after when that contract is signed, and then when the relationship enters a business as usual steady state. And onboarding is the first step in that journey. And often that is typically within those first 30, 60, and 90 days, right? That's when you're going to introduce your customer to your product and your service. But you also shouldn't forget that you're also introducing them to your company and your team and your purpose. So onboarding, from my lens, is just the beginning of a long and rewarding relationship. And in fact, at TaskRay, we like to call it, it's the first 90 days to love.
Tell us a little bit more about that 90 days to love.
Jamie. So the 90 days to love actually came from two things. It came from a personal story and it came from some research. So there's some research that we've found where what we know is customers really have the... have the attention of your customer for about 90 to 120 days. That is when they're completely engaged, right? That's when you have their attention. So it is so critical that you focus all that attention on engagement, right? And then if you can focus on that engagement, then they're going to stick with you through the long and hopefully, you know, forever enduring relationship. Now, I said that there's a personal frame of reference on why we call it 90 Days to Love here at TaskRay. I've shared with my team, I've told them the story of how I met my husband, how I fell in love with my husband. But in those first 90 days, I was really scared to admit that I was in love. And my father took me aside one day and said, "Hey, Blakely, listen, everyone knows, like, if you're in love within the first 90 days, you know if this is the one. And if you know it, you need to show it, you need to tell them, and you need to commit, and then you need to allow yourself to be kind of ever enduring journey that comes after." And so I really took that to heart, and he's right, right? We do know in our gut in those first 90 days. And so it's no different whether I'm talking about my husband or whether I'm talking about a relationship in the business world. We know in those first 90 days, it's about capturing that love because you're about to go on this long, enduring journey.
That's one of my favorite stories. That's why I asked the follow-up question. So what would you say has surprised you the most about how this industry has developed over the last 10 years?
Well, first, I think we should admit onboarding is not new. Just because there is an incredible rise in the enterprise customer onboarding segment, since there have been businesses, there has been some form of onboarding, right? But there is something new in terms of the growth in that segment. And Jimmy, you know, we've been trying to figure this out and what can we attribute this growth to? And 2 years ago, I think it was about 2 years ago, you and I, we started on Project Connection, is what we called it at TaskRay. And Project Connection was about taking our team at TaskRay, hitting the road, and for 6 weeks interviewing and talking to as many customers as possible to uncover, like, what is going on, what is fueling this growth. And what they told us is, hey, paper checklists aren't cutting it anymore. Old school project management's not cutting it. Spreadsheets, email, it's not cutting it. We are in a world of growing complexity. And they all had the same three common themes. We need the ability to scale, especially during this growing complex time that we're in. Salesforce coins it as the fourth industrial revolution, right? We have so much information coming at us. We need systems to help us scale. We also need visibility to our stakeholders. I can't think of nothing more important right now in time of the coronavirus, where we're all really learning to adapt to remote working situations, that visibility and transparency is only more important every day. And then finally, a connection to CRM, right? So connection to where all this data is being collected, and where we can combine that data to really uncover insights and understanding of who our customer is and what their needs are. And ultimately, I think the conclusion that we drew from all of that learning is that in this, call it new marketplace or subscription economy, that customer loyalty begins with customer onboarding.
The part about the CRM, I found that really interesting when we did do Project Connection. Could you talk a little bit more about why that would be important to people as they're deciding on how to build their customer onboarding journey and the tool set to back that up?
Yeah, so the journey is not just about a single role, right? Or a single person doing a role. The journey really is about connecting disparate teams. And often what we see is those teams are sitting inside a CRM, like a Salesforce. And so if part of customer onboarding is really about the first 90 days where you're introducing them to your company, you're introducing them to every area of your company. So to have that project comprised of different participants, it might be your support team, it might be your success teams, it might be implementation and training, it could be sales. To have a common place where you connect all that information not only helps keep people, humans, connected together through that, but it also keeps data connected. So the more we have data to share between those groups, the more we can identify in terms of trends and insights and deliverability to our customer and just increasing our trust and reliability along the way.
What are some of the largest challenges you see businesses face concerning onboarding?
So much of it is the same, I think, as what our customers told us during Project Connection. It's the transparency, it's a visibility, but sometimes it's as simple as establishing the process. It's amazing how establishing the process can be the first stumbling block that we encounter, the journey, so to speak, The other things that we see are determining when a customer has been successfully been onboarding, what's that definition, and when they should hand off to CS. And honestly, Jamie, we should back that up. It's actually also making sure there's a solid handoff between sales and onboarding. And we have to remember that as we are trying to solve for scale, specialization is going to become more key, but those handoffs become more and more critical because the last thing we want to do is make the customer feel unheard or misunderstood. And if they're having to repeat their use case every single time through all those handoffs, we're not doing a great job, right? So part of the challenge of onboarding and CS in general is just about managing those handoffs and having those feel really transparent and seamless to a customer and not like they're hitting the reset button every time.
I agree. Even in, you know, personal life, when you're dealing with something, let's say, you know, it's a doctor's office and you have to repeat yourself several times, it feels very jarring and you lose trust. 2019 was a big year for customer onboarding. We recently compiled our customer success survey, of which 130 organizations from over 25 industries participated in. I'd love to dig into some of that data and get your perspective on how you think each category will develop over the rest of 2020.
Yes, let's dig in.
So broadly, we saw a maturation of customer onboarding as a distinct function along the customer success journey. So why do you think the focus on onboarding became an industry-wide realization over the last year? And why are more established businesses doubling down on streamlining their customer onboarding processes?
Yeah, so a couple interesting things here. One, over the last 5 years, I would say we've seen an incredible rise in the job title Customer Success Manager, CSM. We are now seeing a very similar rise in customer onboarding roles. So just in the last 6 months, we saw almost a 20% increase in the growth of that job title. And like those two, and if I can compare CS and onboarding, some of what we're seeing in terms of industry trends are the same. It's the same driving forces. There's the consumerization of IT and just the growing complex nature of how we're doing business. There's the rise of the subscription economy, right? So we're just having to prove value all the time, not just after the deal is done one time. There's digital transformation. There's this notion that customer experience is king or queen, as we like to say, right, Jamie? But buyers have more choice now. Buyers have more voice. Switching costs are low. And a bad or even fair onboarding experience can be hard, if not impossible, to recover from. So all those combined forces are putting pressure on us to nail that first impression, build engagement, and ultimately loyalty and advocates for our businesses.
When looking at the current state of customer onboarding teams, about half of customer success organizations have a dedicated onboarding function. Why should having a dedicated onboarding team be a priority for CS teams in general?
So there's a need for specialization. And I think it's a similar to what we saw in sales, right? With the advent of SDRs and BDRs. We're seeing something very similar within CS as well. But honestly, let's cut to the chase. So it's simple. Research after research after research is telling us that of the top reasons for churn, number one is poor customer onboarding. So if you believe that research, then you can't afford to not have a dedicated onboarding team.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, obviously, because of my role at TaskRay, I have access to some of that research as well. And that one paper from, it was the Marketing Sciences Institute, really drove that home, that it is the most highly leveraged activity you can do post-sale. Five times more impactful, between 5 and 10 times more impactful than anything that you can do in CS. And that paper also indicated that if you don't get onboarding right, most of your CS investments might be futile anyway. There is some really compelling research, Blakely. I agree. What are some of the specialist roles within the customer onboarding function you see developing?
This is a fun question because it's happening real time. And so what we are seeing here at TaskRay, we are seeing the onboarding specialist role. And I think of that as akin to a project manager, right? They're keeping the wheels on the bus. They're keeping things moving forward. We're also seeing solution architects play a role here and kind of a reinvention of product subject matter experts and how they're tagging on to these projects. The one role that I think hasn't quite emerged as a role yet, but I don't think we should lose sight of it, is the journey owner. Customer onboarding is a living process. And there is so much we can do to be continuously optimizing it, right? It's a combination of high touch and low touch and tech touch and human touch. Just like marketing automation, there's a need to A/B test different ways in which we communicate with our customers. And let's not discount the voice of the customer, right? Or the voice of the folks that are doing the onboarding. Things change so quickly that it's important to not let your onboarding templates and your onboarding journeys and your onboarding processes go stale. And so I really do want to emphasize the need and the emphasis for someone to kind of manage the innovation here. And then the other role that is emerging, or at least I would say that the conversation that is emerging, is change management and adoption leads, and just how critical they are in this journey.
So you're suggesting that a role within customer onboarding would be someone who owns that, the journey of, hey, we've made the sale, through to we're done with onboarding and we're handing it off to CS. Hey listeners, we'll get back to the show in a minute, but first I wanted to ask you a question. Is your handoff process between sales and customer success repeatable, scalable, and optimized around your customer outcome? Could your process use some work? Check out our webinar, Mastering the Post-Sale Handoff, available on our website at taskray.com. Let's get back to the show. The average size of customer onboarding teams have also grown over the last year. While the typical size being 1 to 3 people per team, we've also seen the growth of larger teams consisting of 4 to 10 people. What are you seeing as the ideal ratio of onboarding specialists to customers being across the industry?
Right. So this is where I answer it depends, but I don't want to answer that, right? Like I want to give some guidance here. And the key is to focus on the right scale that can lead your customer to value within those first critical 90 days. And this gets complicated because every industry, this looks very different, whether you're in SaaS or you're installing med tech, right? So it's very different. It's very variable. And implementations also are very different and very variable. You could get someone up and running on your product in 15 minutes, or it could take over a year. And so it's very important to define what onboarding is. And so my advice on that is to really understand how your customer can get first traction or first value or first adoption within the 90 days. So whether that is onboarding them into a trial or a proof of concept, or navigating how they're going to do business with you, is make your definition, make your onboarding project start and end right in those first critical 90 days. And once you understand what that path is and what type of resources that will take, you can then look at your capacity and work backward from there to understand what size team you're going to need. But it all starts with mapping out how that journey looks today and honestly having a notion of how you want it to look tomorrow.
At what point should customer success teams begin hiring onboarding specialists?
It should be the first hire you make in your CS org. Done. Period.
Obviously, I agree from the data I've seen. So you would say customer success starts with building a customer onboarding team.
That is exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying customer success owns the whole journey, or I shouldn't even say that. Customer success is a movement within your whole organization, right? We all have that responsibility. I think what's happening right now is the advent of customer success, one of the great things about it was kind of the rallying cry for retention, right? And so the first rallying cry was to focus on the renewal. And then customer success has really grown into focusing on expansion and new ways to partner and empower your customers and really growth, right? But it was that shift from reactive to proactive that also enabled us to isolate onboarding and understanding just how that piece is perhaps some of the most proactive mechanisms you have to kind of lock in your engagement and advocacy.
In addition, the granularity of metrics being tracked by onboarding teams have evolved over the past year. What are some of the key metrics you suggest teams begin tracking to optimize onboarding?
I know which stat you are talking about from that survey. In fact, I think our results found that 2/3 of organizations are tracking or planning to track metrics just related to customer onboarding this year. And so what are those? We could come up with 10, we could come up with 50, but if you're just getting started, I would recommend starting with 3. Keep it focused and keep it simple. And these are very powerful. And the first is your time to first value. So that is really your project completion, your onboarding completion. That's going to tell you a lot. And then I think it's important to measure your customer sentiment during your implementation and your onboarding. And then the other one that I would add on that I don't know that everyone thinks to add on is to measure the sentiment of your onboarding specialist as well. Because I think having an external perspective and an external perspective kind of will help you guide how you communicate with that particular customer in the next phase of their journey.
Why are optimization metrics essential for developing successful teams?
Interesting. Jamie, how would you answer that question?
This came when we were doing the executive analytics product roadmap track last year. One of the ideas behind it was you had your template analytics. So you could see at the aggregate level how a process was being performed. If it was on consistently on time or consistently behind schedule, you could see which tasks at an aggregate level were slipping. And you could also see what the customer onboarding score was for that process in aggregate. But then you could dial in specifically and see, is it one or two people every time who are causing it to be late, or is it really the process? And so the idea behind that was that you could start to understand where you had strengths and areas of opportunity on your team. And then even when you see that it's one or two people maybe falling behind every time, it still might be because these specific tasks are hard to achieve, or you need to give them more tools to get that task over the goal line. So it's not even that it's a person failing. It's you looking at the process in aggregate, drilling down. And then finally, if you understand that it is a person who's having a hard time doing this, outside of all the other parts of it, that you get them the coaching or the help they need to get better at the process. So one thing though, Blakely, that is a hot topic here that was a big thing in Pulse Europe was the fact that these teams, as you mentioned before, are sometimes pre-existing teams, like the implementation team or a customer support team or customer success team. And now they're being asked to move to onboarding. And the metrics are totally different. And some companies are structuring them as soft metrics, like, hey, are they feeling a certain way? What's the NPS score as the outcome they want the teams to have? And some companies are structuring them as, hey, are you getting this many new opportunities because you're hearing cross-sell during onboarding, and that's what you're being metriced off of? So that's a hot topic. I don't know, if we might not want to get into it today, but it is something that I found fascinating, is that these teams are being called to do vastly different things across the industry. And a lot of times it's a totally new approach than they're used to. The opportunities and challenges that come along with trying to redeploy people on something that's existed for a long time.
Yeah, I think what you're picking up on there is where the resources are coming from. And so sometimes we see those resources coming from the customer success department. And sometimes it's the onboarding is being asked of the CSM, right? So sometimes when you're very early in your journey, you have what we call the full stack CSM, and then they go to specialization. And so then they break out into onboarding specific and long-term relationship specific. Sometimes the resources come from customer support. And sometimes they come from professional services, and which is a very different mindset, right? It's very time and materials focused. And so when you have all these resources coming from different places and you're trying to reinvent and standardize and really focus on that scale and that, but yet have that engagement, how do you measure that? And how do we make sure those teams are successful? And how do we make sure those processes are successful? And so one thing that, or one lens I might look at it through is onboarding, well designed, is very repetitive. It's a very, very, very repetitive function. And so if you think about onboarding as a set of processes, repetitive processes or templates, there's a lot of rich data that you can collect there. So let's even say you have a really, really sophisticated product catalog with, you offer 100 products. You can take those products, find your commonalities, and have onboarding processes that are specific to that product become a repetitive project template for your onboarding team to deliver. And so then what you have is you have these onboarding projects happening over and over and over and over and over again. And you start to collect really, really, really rich data. And now that you have all this rich data, this repetitive process, you can start to ask questions. And so when I think about optimization metrics for teams and our processes, you really start with the data and you look for the trends. So you look at, hey, what are the tasks that are being blocked? What's at, you know, what are the risks that are coming up? And are those because of changing circumstances? Are they because customers' input? Is it because of John or Sally? And if it is it really John or Sally, or is it really the fact that they don't have tools? And so I think the first step is to get the journey and get the repetitive motion like under your belt. And then the data is going to point you to the questions you need to ask to enable your employees and enable your team, and ultimately then enables your customers. So get the motion going. And then, like I said, I think the questions will become apparent when you can start to pull out your insights and your trends. And the more you can look at those, ultimately, the more predictive you're going to get, and the more trust and reliable you're going to bring back to your customer.
So looking forward to 2020, even though it's quite a year already, what are some of the trends you're most excited about for customer onboarding?
Well, my mind is still in pandemic. I'm very excited about the maturation of the enterprise customer onboarding segment. I think there are a lot of best practices still to uncover. I mean, I know our customers are dying for them. And so I think it'll be fun to see how this ecosystem works together to define the customer onboarding playbook. This really goes back to an earlier conversation we had about the merge of lots of different functions coming together. And so we have an opportunity to bring some clarity into how we effectively do this. The trend I am most excited about in 2020 is businesses prioritizing employee happiness, right? A lot of this is driven by low unemployment rates, by demand for talent, but really what I think should drive this is growth. And what I mean by that is that customer engagement is directly driven from your employee engagement. Our mission at TaskRay is to build beautiful experiences for work, because work deserves beautiful experiences. And that is equally about our employees and our team as it is about our customers. And I think that is just catching wind. We'll see more companies, very conscious companies, putting that together, and putting together that an investment in your employees really means an investment in your growth. Very important.
The law of congruent experiences. It's a whole other podcast topic, but it is that. How do you see the maturation of bots and in-app automation affecting onboarding?
For the better. It's going to bring us personalization. It's going to bring us responsiveness. It's going to bring us improved user experience. There's a lot of ground to uncover still with bots, with AI, with other areas of automation. I guess I would throw one word of caution that there is a lot of conversation about, hey, do I have a high touch onboarding process? Is mine a tech touch onboarding process? I would argue typically you have a combination of all of those. It's you have a combination of tech touch and high touch and low touch. And all of these tools are going to help us gain efficiencies. And we so desperately need that as we're looking to scale at the rate we're looking to scale in the subscription economy. But through all that, let's just remember not to lose the human touch. So I see bots and in-app automation, I even see AI, as this ability for us to actually focus more on the human touch and saving those precious resources to navigate the nuance of relationships and connection.
So what makes you the most excited about the development of onboarding in 2020? One thing.
I think it's to further on the trend of businesses prioritizing employee happiness. I think there's a real connection between how you onboard your teams, and I mean your employees when I say that, and how you onboard your customers. I think much of this innovation is going to be driven through communication and through change management and driving trust in our culture and understanding that we are enabling people, not solely processes and tools. And through that understanding, I think it's that innovation that starts to get me really excited.
One last question for you, Blakely. If you had one piece of advice for customer onboarding leaders looking to build their first dedicated function, what would it be?
Well, you first need to map out your journey. And I know that sounds daunting. So I recommend starting with a simple sticky notes on a whiteboard and just focus on those first 90 days. And once you have that mapped out, let's say you have it mapped out on your whiteboard, then I want you to step back and reframe and re-ask the question. If you had only 90 days to have your customer fall in love, what would you do differently? And I say that and mapping it out through those two different lenses, because creating a loyal customer is not all strategy and deliverables. It's arguably more about building a relationship and creating trust. So in other words, how do you get your customers to fall in love with you?
Well, Blakely, thank you so much. It's always good to hear your point of view about customer onboarding. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you have questions, comments, or want to share your top learning from today's episode, tweet us at TaskRay. Or message us on LinkedIn. If you're enjoying the podcast, please leave a review on iTunes and let us know your favorite part. Until next time, you've been listening to the Customer Onboarding Podcast, brought to you by TaskRay, the customer onboarding success company.